This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
What a great thing to look forward to, isn't it? The celebration after it's all over, after we face every trial that we can face down here. We who belong to the Lord, the bride of Christ, will celebrate. Every day will be Sunday. The Sabbath will have no end. All of our tears washed away, wiped away by our bridegroom. Good morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord, isn't it? Because we are God's people. We are the church. Doesn't matter what the building looks like. When we come together, we are church. We do church. That's who we are. It's not about where we are. Are you still celebrating the resurrection? I know it's two Sundays ago, but are you still celebrating that Jesus has risen from the dead? Oh, don't sound like you're celebrating in here. Are you still celebrating? Hallelujah. Yeah. I think that's more like it there. We can endure whatever trials we're facing. We can make it because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you're facing now, whatever you're dealing with, we can make it because He's risen. That should be something that we can hold on to for the rest of our days. Because He's risen, we can make it today, even through our various trials. Well, that's what Peter was trying to tell the believers who are scattered abroad. In 1 Peter, to the diaspora, those who are scattered around the Roman province, and they were going through a lot of trials. They were suffering because of their faith. And he tried to, as best he can, encourage them, shepherd them, give them hope, even in the midst of their suffering. Remember when Jesus had his fireside chat with Peter? They're out fishing and they heard a voice ask a question: have you caught any fish yet? And then he said, cast the net on the right side. And John was on that boat. He immediately recognized that it was Jesus. And they began to move toward the shore. Jesus had the fire already lit. He already had fish. Where did he get the fish from? We don't know. He already had the fish. They were bringing in fish, but he already had his own. And he sat, Jesus sat Peter down after they ate and broke bread together and asked him, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs. And Peter picked up on that, and now he is an under-shepherd, serving the chief shepherd. And he has this responsibility to shepherd the people that God has entrusted him. And the people were suffering. They were going through. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrim of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Then he says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He goes on and says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. In verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter says we have something to look forward to. And he tells these suffering saints, there's hope, even in your suffering. And he picks up this idea here surrounding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this book, Peter helps us to understand how to hold up under trials and suffering. He even says in verse 6, in this, verse 6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And he goes on through the rest of this book, giving us very practical and very powerful help, support, encouragement, even as we go through trials. If you're going through something, I would recommend reading 1 Peter. Because 1 Peter gives us the hope we need, but he also gives us very practical tips on how we can still serve under suffering. He goes down the list, talking about suffering in relationships and marriage. Wives, if you have a husband that is not living according to the word, this is how you ought to live, even though you're going through suffering. Servants, if you have masters that are putting pressure on you, he says this is how you ought to serve, even under suffering. If you have an oppressive government, you can suffer the right way. He says, why suffer for doing what's wrong? Why don't you just go ahead and suffer for doing us right? That gives you more credit in God's eyes. And he helps us practically how we can serve even when we're going through trials. But at the very beginning, he says, through the resurrection. I want to tell you three things this morning. Three pieces of hope. How we can make it, even while we're going through trials. And it's because of the resurrection of Christ. Number one, Peter says, resurrection gives us a living hope. If you're going to make it through any trials, you're going to need hope. Have you ever run across somebody who just don't have any hope? They've just given up. Hope is a powerful, powerful thing. When you lose hope, the moment that is lost, you begin to die. When there is no hope, there is no future for you. That's why there's suicide, because when somebody loses hope, they give up. There's no reason for me to hang on. There's no reason for me to continue, because the way things are now, nothing will get better. And a lot of times in their estimation, it's going to get worse. So I'm just going to check out. Hope is a powerful tool. And without it, you die. But with it, you can make it even through your greatest trials. See, the enemy knows that hope is powerful. Because when you have somebody who is going through trials and struggles, but they have hope, you got a fighter on your hands. You have somebody, even though they're facing their worst, they're still going to fight. They're still going to lift up their hands. They're still going to duke it out. They're still going to keep pressing on as long as there is a glimmer of hope. Hope is powerful. And Peter understood that if you're going to make it through trials, you need hope. And he says, through the resurrection, verse 3, We have been begotten. We've been begotten unto us a living hope. Hope can be an ally for us. And what gives us hope beyond anything else? See, when you're in a situation, when you think that the situation is dead, there's no recovery. Hope is lost. When something dies, a relationship, it's over. A goal or an objective, something that you were shooting for, and that is shut down, that's when hope leaves. When something dies, then typically there's no hope. But Peter points us to the fact that when Jesus died, he came from the dead. He was dead, sure enough dead. It wasn't, as my brother Brooks, I heard him preach recently about the resurrection. It wasn't a swoon theory where he fainted, but he came back. He was dead. But because he rose from the dead, that helps us, because the thing that kills it, if death is the situation and this thing is dead and there is no recovery, when Jesus died and rose again, there's still hope yet, even in our situations. See, this goes beyond looking like it's dead. Where David talks about in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I don't fear no evil. That's just a shadow. That's not really death. It looks dead. But Jesus come back and say, well, if your situation really is dead, you still have hope, because I can raise a dead situation to a living situation. I can bring beauty from ashes. I can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, I can bring it back. We have a lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. There are two enemies that we have to face. I don't care who you are. If you're born, these are the two enemies you have to face. Death and sin. And none of us, I don't care how hard you try, I don't care how hard you fight, you can't defeat sin and you can't defeat death. But Jesus, coming on the cross, defeated them both. He defeated our worst enemies. So there is a hope that we have, even when things look dead or maybe even be dead. There's still hope. A lively hope. And what that means is that this hope is self-sustaining. It produces even in your dead situation. When everything is pulling on you to drain you of life, this living hope has a way of sustaining you even in your dark situation. Keeps you even when everything is going wrong. He says, through the resurrection, we have a lively hope. Isn't that good news? But he goes on to say this. Not only do we have a lively hope, but we have an inheritance. We have something awaiting us. And he describes this inheritance. He says, number one, it's incorruptible. In other words, nothing can taint it. Nothing can corrupt it. Nothing can corrode it. This inheritance is reserved for us, that nothing can touch it, because it's reserved in glory. Not only is it incorruptible, but he says it's undefiled. In other words, nobody can go in and poison it. Nobody can go in and mess with our inheritance. You know what God has for you is for you. You don't have to worry about it. If he has it for you, it is for you. Nothing can defile it. Nothing can corrode it. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled, and it will not fade away. That's why Jesus told his disciples, store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. Because thieves can break in and steal. Moths can destroy it. Rust can corrode it. But in heaven, your treasures are protected. You have an inheritance. We are co-heirs with Christ. So if you lose everything down here, you have not lost. You are rich. That's why the song says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because we have an inheritance awaiting us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you've lost, but you have more awaiting you than anything you've lost down here. That's what Jesus told his disciples. They say, Lord, we've forsaken everything to follow you. And Jesus says, you don't understand. What you have awaiting you is more in comparison to what you've lost. I stand here to you, and I just found out this Sunday that somebody stole the catalytic converter under the church van on Sunday or Saturday night. And we're experiencing a lot of thefts around our church. And some of my leaders, they're getting frustrated because someone would dare to go into the house of the Lord and steal from the Lord. And they're ready to some of them ready to retaliate, and some of them ready to just go out and see if they can find this individual. And I'm trying to keep them calm, even though I'm a little frustrated by it because I'm appalled by it as well. But I have an understanding that this is God's house. And this is a society we're living in right now. We're trying to protect everything we can. We're trying to be good stewards, and we got security and all those different things, and report it to the police, but it's still this is what happens down here. We got to keep doing, and the thing that encourages me is because I'm making some initiatives to reach the community to win souls. And every time I make steps, it seems like there are some things that happen in the ministry that wants to distract us, that wants to cause us to be discouraged. And you know, my response is, I must be in the right place. But I'm not so concerned about the things down here because I can lose stuff. People can rob me. They can take this. But it's just stuff. Why are we so worrying about the things that we have? If we truly believe God gave them to them, can he restore them? When we belong to him, this stuff is his. You know, you might have a house with the deed in your name, but when you gave your stuff to Christ, that's his house. You might have a car, but you might even have your name on that title. But if you really gave everything to Christ, I surrender all, that's his car. You know, God can bless you with it and God can take it away. But all the things we have down here does not compare to what is awaiting us. We have a lively hope. We have an inheritance that nobody can mess with. Is awaiting us. We're seated in heavenly places right now. So that should encourage us. And I think Peter is trying to encourage them even as they were suffering loss. He says, rejoice. A lively hope. An inheritance reserved in heaven for us. But this third one, I'm really excited about. Verse 5, he says, God is keeping us. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. My dad, I love my dad. Every week we pray together. My dad is an evangelist. He's in Rocky Mount. And you may not understand the dynamic of our relationship, but we didn't always speak on good terms growing up. But when I became a man and God began to heal some things in my heart and his heart, we've grown so close. And we're partners in ministry. And we would pray together every Monday. And I would love when my dad would pray, because when he's interceding for someone or he's interceding for me, he would say this statement, "Lord, keep him by your keeping power." And I thought that was so great. But, you know, being a CIU student, I'm trying to figure out where you get that from in Scripture. That's great, God. I like that. I like that. But is it biblical? When I ran across verse 5, I see where he got it from. It says, "We're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation." You know, a lot of times we think and we focus on our faith that keeps us. I just got to strengthen my faith. I got to have more faith. But I want to beg to differ here. When I look at this passage, I want to tell you that it's not the power of your faith. It's the power of God who you believe in. There's a difference. Because a lot of times we're focusing on our faith. I need more faith. I need more faith. All you need is to trust God more. And we think, because my faith is not strong, you got to get to the place when you realize that even though your faith is weak, God is still strong. Even though you may not have, because that's what Jesus says, it's not about the size of your faith, it's the size of your God. Even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, "Be moved," and it's moved. And it's not because it's your faith, it's the God that you're talking to that is able to move those mountains. A lot of us are struggling, and we're so focused on our faith and trying to measure how strong we are. We ought to get like that man got one day when he talked to Jesus. Jesus says, "Do you believe I can do this?" And he says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." We have to get to the place where even when we don't have much faith in God, we can bring that to him. "Lord, I believe, but I help my unbelief." Be honest with him about how little our faith is. And he can take the little that we have and make much with it. And as we look to him and as we trust him, our faith grows. See, when you get weak, and when you go through and you start getting weak in your belief in God, your faith, it's not your hand that's holding you. It's God's hand that's holding you. And when you want to let go, he's not going to let you go. His hand has a way of holding you when you are just limp and not able to do anything for yourself. Why? Because we're not kept by our power, but we're kept by his power. Even when we're going through, have you ever experienced that when you just didn't have anything left? You were just going through and you were just existing and God placed his hand on your life to help you to get through that rough spot when you had nothing to give him. You couldn't even pray. And my Bible says when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit can intercede on our behalf. He knows what we need. So I love this verse that when I'm feeling the bluest that I can feel, his power is able to keep us. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Faith is just a conduit for his power to come through. And sometimes that conduit, that channel is weakened, but God is able to still keep us and pull us through that. That's why I still celebrate the resurrection. Because when he rose from the dead, he made this declaration: "All power is given unto me. All authority. I have everything that you need. If you just connect up with me, you're kept by his power. There's something awaiting for you, even if you've lost everything down here on this journey. You have a living hope that will be a light even in your darkest moment, all because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I feel good after that. That keeps me going. That is not based on me, but is based on him. And even when I don't have anything else to offer, he can keep me. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds, who keeps, who has the power to keep the future, my life is worth the living. Just because he lives. Maybe you're here today, and whatever is going on in your life, what's going on in your heart, maybe your hope is dwindling. That flame is dimming. I just want to direct you back to the resurrection of Christ, because it was that same power that raised him from the dead is the same power that sustains us. One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 3:20 that says, now unto him who is able to keep, able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It was that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have access to that power today. So if you're in your darkest moment, tap into his power. If you're here today and you want to tap into him, maybe you're coming with little hope, almost extinguished. I don't know who's in the room, but you need hope today. We want you to come forward. Come for prayer. Ask the Lord to strengthen you. Take the little faith that you have and bring it to him. He says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. I'll give you rest for your soul. If you're here as we stand to our feet, we're almost closed. I just want to give you an opportunity to come and allow him to strengthen you even in your struggle. Let's stand to our feet. Wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, this is an opportunity for you to get strengthened through the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Suffering, trials, issues that you can't deal with or haven't struggled with, come. Allow the Lord. Spend some time with him. Maybe it is doubt. Maybe it is unbelief. But allow him to come to deal with whatever it is you're dealing with.
Anybody?
Is what?
Let's take advantage this time. Just come down here and just kneel and just say, Lord, I don't need more hope. I need more you. Anybody else? Just come on down. Let's just take advantage. That's right. Come on, faculty, Pastor Rick, Brooks, just come up here and pray for some of these. Anybody else? That's right.
join me in praying? Father, we come in need of a touch from you. Lord, it's in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, we come because we know where our strength comes from. We know how to look to the hills from which cometh our help. We come because you're the one who gives us hope. Even when there is a loss, and even though we mourn that loss, we don't mourn as those without hope. Father, we come, Lord, because you're the answer. You're everything that we need. And I know, Father, that as we go through the toils of life, we sometimes lose sight of that. We sometimes allow the storms of life to steal our focus from you. And then we begin to sink. But Peter, even in his own experience, teaches us that we can, without a long prayer, just say, Lord, save us. And you have a way of reaching down and picking us up, carrying us to safety. God, I pray for each and every one who's here today, who in the throes of life and even in the throes of ministry can be battered and wounded, discouraged, even depressed. God, remind them you rose from the dead. You have all power. You're sitting at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. You gave us your spirit that we will never be alone, but be comforted always. I thank you, O God, for the hope we have, the living hope in your resurrection. Because you were raised, we are raised with you. Let us live through that and in that when difficult times come. So in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.